couple people asked me this morning as they were going out. They said, hey, Brother Darrell, I can understand why we'd have a gold of 105 for the first 3 weeks of February. You know, we averaged 90-something in the month of January, and that's only, you know, 14, 15 more people. And I think we could do that. And they said, why 210? Why have a gold of 210 on the last Sunday in February? You know, we're coming close to 100. The next logical level would be to have 150. And so why wouldn't you have a gold of 50 in each section as opposed to a gold of 200, or opposed to a gold of 70 in each section? Why wouldn't you have a gold of 150? Because I think we could get 100. One person says to me, I think we could get 150. 150 is within reach. And so why wouldn't you set a gold of 150? Why would you stretch us and stretch the church and stretch yourself to shoot for 110? I said, you answered your own question. Because I want us to stretch. I want us to depend on God. I mean, if we, I do think 150 is in reach. I have no idea how we're going to have 210. No idea. But, one of the ways that you build yourself up from a physical standpoint is to stretch. I mean, Lisa was talking tonight. She said, Teresa was talking to her and talking about how she was doing and said, I'm surprised to see you walking around so quick. And Lisa said, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. The worst part about it is that physical therapy. And she didn't say it, but I'm sure she was thinking, I don't like my therapist one bit because he stretches and bends my knee in ways that God didn't make it to bend or stretch. But that's the way you get stronger. And that's the same way that we develop our faith. We stretch. And tonight, I want to talk about stretching our faith. I want to use that last phrase that was in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 17, where Jesus said, "Nothing shall be impossible unto you." And that's the title and subject of my message tonight. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus and Peter, James, and John had been up on the mount that in the Bible is referred to as the Mount of Transfiguration. When they went up on that mount, Jesus was transfigured or changed before them. The Bible says that his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment or his clothes was as white as light. Two Old Testament Bible characters were there on the mount with them, Moses and Elijah. And while they were there, the Bible says a bright cloud, not a dark cloud that we see often this time of year where we live, but a bright cloud overshadowed them. And there was a voice that spoke from that crowd. And I mentioned it this morning. I think this is only the second time in the Bible another time in the Bible where God spoke with an audible voice to a few people. And he spoke from that cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And Peter got all excited. He said, "Lord, we'd like to stay. Let's build three tabernacles, three homes, one for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. And let's just stay here. Let's stay on the mountain." And Jesus said, "No, we got to go down." And they came down, and as you can read earlier, and as we read in verse 14, a man came up to Jesus, a father. And he said to Jesus, Master, he knelt before him there, and he said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's lunatic. He's out of his mind. He's sore vexed. What the father was saying is he's possessed by a devil. And that vexation, that devil, causes him to fall into the fire or fall into the water. And if I'm not there to pull him out, he'll kill himself. Have mercy on him and help him. And Jesus said, bring him to me. And by the way, the man said, I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't help him. They could not cure him. None of your disciples could. And Jesus said, bring him to me. And he rebuked the devil, as we read. The devil departed. And from that moment, the Bible says that the child was cured. He was well. Jesus and the disciples left, and as they went aside, the disciples came to him and said, well, why couldn't we heal him? Why couldn't we cast out the devil? And here's what Jesus said to him. He said, because of your unbelief, because of your lack of faith. He said, "Verily I say unto you, if ye had faith as a mustard seed," which is one of the smallest seeds that we know. He said, "If ye just have that much faith, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove." He said, Jesus said, look, if you have faith, just faith as big of a mustard seed, you could say to the Rocky Mountains, "Hey, I want you to move from Colorado and I want you to move to Michigan. We need some mountains in Michigan." And if we had faith as a grain of mustard seed, what Jesus was saying, you could go to Colorado and you could say to the Rocky Mountains, "I want you to move, and I want you to move someplace else." And if you have that much faith and believe that it would happen, it would happen. Jesus said, "Nothing shall be impossible unto you." Now, there's three levels of faith I just want to mention tonight as I introduce my message. There's a level of faith that says God has done impossible things in the past. And most of us have this kind of faith. Most of us have enough that kind of faith when we turn back to the pages of the Old Testament and we read, for example, in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and he spoke everything that we see around us, all the mountains, all the trees, all the flowers, all the animals, every molecule of everything that exists, God spoke into existence in 6 days. Now, I want to tell you something. It takes a lot of faith to believe that God could do that. But he did. And most of us here tonight have no trouble believing the events that's recorded in Genesis chapter 1. We don't believe or subscribe to this Big Bang theory. That all of a sudden there was a big explosion, all this came into existence. We don't believe in evolution. And by the way, scientists that have studied it don't believe in it either. They don't. It takes a lot of faith that God did the impossible in the past and created in 6 days everything that we see on this earth. But most of us here tonight have that kind of faith. Most of us here tonight have the faith that says God's done the impossible in the past when we read the story of the Red Sea. When the Israelites came to that Red Sea, mountains on either side, Pharaoh's army behind them, the Red Sea in front of them, and God, in a miraculous way, did the impossible, did something that had never been done before, and opened up a walkway in that sea, and the Israelites crossed that sea on dry land. I think there were walls on either side of them. A lot of people say, well, it was just a real shallow stream. It wouldn't take much to open it up and make a dry path. Then it sure was a miracle to drown Pharaoh's army in it, wasn't it? Huh? I don't care how you want to look at it, it was a miracle either way. I believe there were a wall of water on each side of them. And in a miraculous way, God did the impossible. Most of us here tonight have the faith to believe that. We believe that God did the impossible in the past. We read the story of Jericho. Marching around that city one time for 6 days, seven times on the seventh day. Trumpets blew, the people shouted, and the walls fell down, and God's people went in and won the first victory in the promised land. It takes a lot of faith to believe that. It takes a lot of faith to believe that God could work the impossible, but he did, and we believe it. Takes a lot of faith as we turn to the pages of the New Testament. Read that story where God took 5 little pieces of bread and a couple fish and fed 5,000 men in addition to the women and the children that were there. Another time, took some fish and some bread, 7 loaves, I think, and a few fish and feed 4,000 men and the women and the children that were there. Impossible. Boy, I wish we could do that when we had dinners here on the ground, that we could just go down and buy a bucket of chicken and just pass it around. We'd have enough and take up baskets full left over. And we have enough faith to say that God did it in the past. He worked the impossible in the past. And most of us have that kind of faith. There's a second kind of faith, the faith that says God will do the impossible in the future. He'll do the impossible in the future. Some of us have that kind of faith. You know, it takes faith to believe the rapture is going to happen. That in a moment, every Christian will be called up to heaven, and in a moment, we'll be gone. I believe it's going to happen. Nothing like that's ever happened before. But I believe, and I believe most of you believe that same thing, that that's going to happen, that God is going to do the impossible, and before the tribulation, he's going to take all of his children out of this world, and we're going to go meet him in the air. The dead in Christ shall rise first, the Bible says, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Takes faith to believe that, but most of you here tonight believe that God will do the impossible in the future. Takes faith to believe there's going to be a 1,000-year rule, that Christ is going to have a 1,000-year rule on this earth. He's going to cast Satan and all his demons into the bottomless pit, into hell, and lock them up in there for 1,000 years. And Christ is going to sit on the throne, and some of us will reign with him. It takes a lot of faith that God's going to do that in the future. By the way, it takes a lot of faith to believe in heaven. It does. That's an impossible thing, to think that God's going to take us to that place where there's no pain, there's no tears, where there'll be no goodbyes, where we'll live forever and ever and ever with him. It takes a lot of faith to believe that God will do the impossible in the future. We have that kind of faith. Here's a third kind of faith. This is a harder faith to have. The faith that says, God can use me now to do the impossible. Hey, I can believe, it's pretty easy to believe that back in the Old Testament, that God did the impossible, that he worked all sorts of miracles. I have enough faith to believe that. I can open the pages of this book, and I can read about what God did, and I can believe it. That kind of faith is sort of easy to have. I can even look forward to the future and think about all the things that God has promised that he's going to do. And I can have enough faith to believe that he'll do it again in the future as he raptures us and sets up his 1,000-year reign and takes us to heaven. But does he have enough faith? Do we have enough faith? Is God big enough? Can God do the impossible now with us? And we say, well, most of us are like the father in this story. This story is told a second time over in Mark chapter 9. You don't need to turn to it. Let me just tell you, there's a little bit added in the story in Mark that's not in the story in Matthew. Same story. And by the way, you say, well, does that mean there's an error in the Bible? You have something in Mark that's not in Matthew? No. You had two different men writing about the same story. They were writing about it from a different perspective. Matthew was presenting Christ as the king. Mark was presenting Christ as a servant. And so it's not unusual to have the same story told twice in different facts. I mean, the facts of the story are the same. We just get a little bit more in the book of Mark. Father brings the son to Jesus. He explains the problem just like he did in the book of Matthew. And here's what he says. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believeth. Here's what Jesus was asking this dad. Hey, dad, do you believe that I can do it? You brought your son to me, and I can see that he has a problem. I can see that, you know, he's vexed. I believe you when you say he throws himself into the fire and to the water and you have to save his life over and over. But here's the question. Do you really believe that I can do it? You said you brought him to my disciples. They couldn't help him. Do you really believe that I can do it? I think Jesus is asking us tonight, and I don't want you to raise your hands, but I want you to be honest with yourself. Do you think, you really think you can have 105 in church the first 3 weeks of February? I think most of us say, oh, yeah. That's only about 15 more than we've averaged all the month of January. And then Jesus would say, well, do you think you could hit 210 on the 27th of February? And you might say, well, I think it's possible and probable that we could hit 105, but to hit 210, I don't know about that. Most of us would think about it the same way that the father answered Jesus, because when Jesus asked this dad, do you really think I could do it? Here's what the dad said. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. What he was saying is, part of me believes that you can, But there's a part of me that doubts. Would you help that part of me? Would you help me to believe with my whole self that you can heal my son? And if we were honest, most of us would say, in answer to the question, do you think we could have 210 on the 27th of February? Well, part of me does, but there's a part of me that doesn't. There's a part of me that thinks it's impossible. There's a part of me that doesn't see any way how we can do it. And we need to pray the same prayer that dad did. He said, yes, Lord, I believe. Part of me does. Help the rest of me to believe. What he was saying was, I want you to increase my faith. I want you to help my faith to grow. I want to be able to say to you in answer to that question, yes, I believe with my whole body and soul and everything that's in me. I believe, Christ, that you can do it. I have no doubt. That's why I brought my son to you. I know you can heal him. There's no doubts in my mind. But the dad said, there is doubts in my mind. And I need you to help my faith to grow, to take away those doubts. In Luke chapter 17, verse 5, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and his disciples, the apostles, came back to him, and they made the same request that this father did. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Increase our faith. Tonight, I want to give you four things that we can do to increase our faith. You might be here tonight, and you have... You're 100%, your faith is a big faith. Praise God for that. I mean, you think that there's no limit to what God can do. Praise God for that. I'm happy for you. But I think if we were honest, most of us would, if we're here tonight, would be in the same position that this father was in, the same position that these apostles were in, and have to say, Lord, we need you to increase our faith. Help thou my unbelief. Help my faith to grow. And so tonight, I want to give you four things that we can do, that God tells us that we can do to increase our faith, that he can use in us to increase our faith. Number one, do what he commands us to do. Number one, have enough faith to do what he commands us to do. Over in Luke chapter 17, you don't need to turn to it. I want to read it to you. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as... And by the way, this is right after the verse where the disciples said, increase our faith. Same chapter. Verse 5, increase our faith. Here's what Jesus said. If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to me? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which is our duty to do. Did you notice the two examples that Jesus used when he talked about faith? The first one that we read over in Matthew, he said, if you have a grain, faith as a grain of mustard, you could say to this mountain, mountain, be moved over here. And then here in Luke chapter 16, he said, if you have that same amount of faith, faith as a mustard seed, you could say to this tree, you can pluck it up by it, by roots and all, you can pluck it up and say, be planted in the middle of the sea. Now, those are, just if you just stop and think about it, those are kind of outlandish examples. I mean, those are big things. I mean, those are very unusual things. I want to say to this mountain, hey, be picked up from over here where you are and move over here. I want to say to this tree, and some of you, if you've ever tried to chop down a tree and dig out the roots, you know that the tree is just about as big underneath it as it is on top. And to say, to be able to say to a tree, hey, I want you to pluck yourself up, and I want you to go over here into the sea, and I want you to be planted in the sea. I mean, those are just outlandish examples. Those are things that we might think can never happen. How can anybody say to a mountain, be picked up, moved over here? How can anybody take a whole tree, root and all, and move it, pick it up from where it's planted, and plant it in the sea? And what Jesus was trying to tell his disciples is this. If you had enough faith to do the things I told you to do and quit thinking they are impossible to do, if you just had enough faith to do them, then you could say to the mountain, hey, mountain, be picked up, moved over here. Hey, tree, root and all, be picked up and be planted in the sea. And what God is telling us tonight, if we want our faith to increase, is quit thinking about the commands that he's given us as impossible and just have enough faith to start doing what he's commanded us to do, and your faith will increase. Let me give you some examples. Read the Bible. I'm going to give you simple examples, ones that I hope everybody can relate to. Read the Bible. And some people say, well, that's unreasonable. I don't have time to read the Bible. You just don't know what my schedule is. Yeah, I got to work, I got my family, I got these other things that I got to do. It's an impossible thing for me to systematically spend time in God's Word every single day. I can do it on Saturday, I can do it on Sunday, but I can't do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It's just an impossible task to do. Well, if that's the way you feel about God's command to read the Bible, don't expect him to give you enough faith to move a mountain. Because if you don't have enough faith to do what he's already told you to do, your faith ain't going to grow. Pray. God says, I want you to pray. I want you to talk to me every day. I want you to tell me what's on your heart. I want you to make your request. We sing that song, sweet hour of prayer draws me from a world of care. How many of you, and I don't raise your hands, but how many of you last week spent a day where you spent 60 minutes in prayer? An hour, 60 minutes in prayer. Say, that's unreasonable. You don't know my schedule. I don't have time to do that. By the time I get up and take care, get the kids ready and do the things I have to do, I don't have time to spend an hour in prayer. And God says, well, don't expect me to give you the faith to move a mountain if you don't have enough faith to do what I've already told you to do. He says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is. And you say, and he says, hey, look, I expect you to be there for Sunday school and church in the morning and church at night and on Wednesday night. You say, it's impossible. You don't know my schedule. Can't do it. Can't come. And again, I'm not trying to be mean tonight. I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd. I'm just trying to get you to see that if we want our faith to increase, we've got to exercise the faith that we have to do what God's already told us to do. Obedience. We ask God to do the impossible. We ask God to fix broken marriages. We ask him to help us raise rebellious children. We ask him to get us a job when we haven't had one for months and months and months. And those things are impossible to us from a human standpoint. And God says, if you had faith, you could do it. If you had faith just like a grain of mustard seed. Hey, fixing a marriage is in trouble. It's not any harder than moving a mountain. Getting a kid that's rebellious to straighten out, it's not any harder than moving a tree by the roots and all. But he says, if you don't have enough faith to do what I told you to do, commanded you to do, how do you expect to have faith to move a mountain? And so as we increase our faith, if we want our faith to get stronger. And it's just like Lisa and her therapy. I told her when she was talking about no pain, no gain. Hey, I know you may have to make some sacrifices to read your Bible every day. I know you may have to make some sacrifices to pray. Hey, you may have to turn off the TV for a few minutes. You may just have to. Yeah, and I know nobody in this room watches this much, but I read Newsweek or Time. I can't remember. One of the Newsweek, I think. The average American The average American watches TV 6.5 hours a day. Now, I don't watch any. I don't watch any. So that means somebody's got to be watching it for 13 hours to make up for me. 6.5 hours. Now, Brother Earl can tell you, because he's got a new system for reading his Bible, if you read your Bible for 6.5 hours a day, you could get through it in 11, 12 days. You could. But we, and again, I'm not, please, I'm not picking on you tonight. I'm just trying to show you how you can increase your faith. If we don't have faith to do what God's told us to do already, we can never expect to have enough faith to move a mountain, to do something impossible. Number two, use the talents you already have, or the talent that you already have. I don't have time to read it. Matthew chapter 25. We talked a little bit about it last week. A master, 3 servants. He was going away. He called the servants in. The first one he gave 5. Second one he gave 2. The third one he gave 1 talent. The Bible says he doled them out, passed them out according to their ability. He left. He was gone for a while. He came back. He reckoned with them. The first one came back and said, Master, you gave me 5, I've turned it into 10. The second one said, Master, you gave me 2, I turned it into 4. The third one came back and said, Master, you gave me 1, and I was afraid. I took the talent and I buried it in the ground because I was afraid. Now, what that servant was saying is, I didn't have enough faith to use what you gave me as a talent. I didn't have enough faith to go out and try to use that talent, like we talked about last week, to bring honor and glory to his master. Now look, if you read that story and you think about what Jesus was saying, here was a man who had a servant who he knew, who he judged his ability, who the master knew that this servant could use that 1 talent to make 2. Could use that 1 talent to bring honor and glory to his master. And the servant said, I'm afraid, I don't have enough faith to use the talent you gave me. Now, let me just reason with you for a few quick seconds. God made each one of us. He made you. Say, no, I was born. No, you were made by God. He used a mom and a dad, but you were made by God. And God knows you better than anybody else. And God has given to each one of us talents. And he's given us those talents because he knows that we can use them. And there's too many Christians that are taking the talents that God has given them and they're burying them in the ground for the same reason that this servant did. They don't have enough faith to use what God gave them. And I want to tell you tonight, don't expect God to move a mountain. Don't expect God to give you the faith to pluck up a tree and roots and all and plant it in the sea if you don't have enough faith to use the talent that God has given you. You know what, Brother Dick? We ought to have this choir full of people. And again, I know I'm preaching to Sonny. I'm not mad at anybody tonight. So please don't, if I sound mean, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to help us. We ought to have this choir full of people. I mean, we ought to have chairs on each side. We ought to ask Bill to move this piece of wood here in the front up about 3 feet so we could add another aisle. And we would, if those of you that God has given the talent to sing, would just go ahead and unbury it, take it out of the ground, and say, I'm going to use it the way God wants me to use it. How do we stretch our faith? We use it to do what God's commanded us to do. We use it to use the talents that God has given us. I got to hurry. Number three. How do we increase our faith? You believe that you do it, you can do it, and then just go do it. Say, that sounds like positive thinking. I'm not a Norman Vincent Peale fan. I don't believe in positive thinking. I think he was a good guy, but I don't believe 1 minute in positive thinking. What I'm talking about is having enough faith. Look, if I knew that I could do it, I wouldn't need any faith, would I? Huh? If you knew that you could do it, you wouldn't need any faith. Faith is stepping out and doing it when you don't know how you can do it. Look,
I was thinking about this afternoon. When the Israelites were at Jericho, and Joshua went to God, the captain of the Lord's army, the Bible says, and got this plan. He came back to the plan called the soldiers all together. So I got a wonderful plan from God. And they said, what is it? Well, the first day we're going to march around the walls of Jericho, and nobody's going to say that. Well, okay. What's the rest of the plan? Second day, we're going to march around the city one time, nobody's going to say that. What's the rest of the plan? Third day, we're going to march around the city one time, nobody's going to say that. And the soldiers in the army are just saying, this guy's nuts. What are you talking about? What's the rest of the plan? Fourth day, we're going to march around, nobody say a thing. Fifth day, we're going to march around, nobody can say a thing. Sixth day, we're going to march around, nobody can say a thing. On the seventh day, we're going to march around, seventh time, the trumpets are going to blow, we're going to shout, and the walls will fall down. Now, there might have been some spiritual people in that army saying, praise God, that's a good plan. But they walked. I think there were hundreds and hundreds of soldiers and that said to themselves, we are doomed. There's no way this is going to work. But what did they do? First day, whether they thought it was going to happen or not, they got in line and they marched around the city one time. They said to themselves, nothing happened. I knew it. Nothing happened. Second day, they got up and did the same thing. End of the day, this is crazy. This is not going to work. This is nuts. Third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, did the same thing. Seventh day, I think now maybe the number had grown. There were more people that said, this plan is crazy. It ain't going to work. It is not going to accomplish anything. But you know what they did the seventh day? They got in line. They marched around the city seven times. The trumpets blew. They shouted. And the walls fell down. And they said, oh, I knew this plan would work. I knew it would work. And they marched into Jericho and defeated the city. And one of the great victories for God. What was my point? Well, you don't think that we can have 210. Now I'm just using this as an example. This works in any area of your life. You don't think that we can have 210 on February 27th. That's okay. But here's what I want you to do. You decide that you're going to come. And you decide that you're going to invite somebody to come with you. So I believe we have to. I'm not, but I don't care if you believe we have 210 or not. I just want you to come. And I want you to invite somebody to come with you. And then let's just get here February 27th and see how many we have. You see, if we could see it, it wouldn't be faith. The fact that we can't see how we're going to do it means that we have to have faith in order to see it happen. So just do it. Number four, ways to increase our faith. We need to learn to depend on God more. It's hard for us to do in this country. Most of you tonight have enough food in your cupboards to at least last the next couple of days. Some of you have enough to last the next few months. You got gas in your car. You got a little bit of money in the bank. And if we were honest, we'd say, yeah, I've got a name. I got a good job. I got a house. I got clothes. I got food. I got everything I need. Thank you very much. And we don't depend on God day by day. Not like the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. You know, every day they got up, who do you think they had to depend on for what they were going to eat that day? God. Who did they have to depend on for what they were going to drink that day? God. Who did they depend on to tell them what way they needed to go that day? God. And it was easy for them to depend on God day by day for everything that they needed. Now it's hard for us, and we have to work at it a little bit. Say, what do you mean by that? Well, let me tell you what I mean by that. Every day we get up, You've got to thank God for what he's given you. You eat that piece of toast for breakfast. I know it came out of the cabinet. I don't know, you may have four or five loaves in the freezer. But you eat that piece of toast and whatever you eat for breakfast. You need to say to yourself, it's God that gave you this piece of bread. It's God that gave you this egg. It's God that gave you this jelly donut with chocolate on top. Or as Brian would say, my hole. But every day, we just need to thank God for what he gives us. Every day. And I was thinking about it. I was just looking at some pictures that I printed off because I wanted to be reminded of what happened at Christmas time. For the folks who were around the Indian Ocean. And I printed out some pictures that were on the computer. Threw me out a picture of a man that was standing where the village was, and there was absolutely nothing there. I printed out a picture, I got two pictures of dads holding the little boys. One was 6 years old, and I think the other one was 10. They were dead. They died in the lake. Printing out a picture of a city that was completely destroyed. Because I want to be reminded, but for the grace of God, that could happen to every single world. And if we don't remind ourselves of that, if we don't make ourselves thank God for everything that he's given us, we sometimes find it hard to remember that everything does come from him. And you know, I think it would be good to be talking to each other about it. When you got up tomorrow, I don't know, you need breakfast together. Are you really going to eat breakfast together? It would be good for David to say, please, everything that we have, God's goodness. You go back to him. You know, everything we have, God's goodness. I think it would be if we talk to each other about it, remind each other. And in that way, learn to depend on God more and more and more. Our faith will grow. Our faith will grow. And it runs. We need a faith to grow. We need to increase. Let's just do the things that God told us. Let's just have enough faith to do what he's already told us to do. Let's have enough faith to use the talent that he's already given us. Let's have enough faith to just step up when we can't see how it's going to happen, but just step up and do it. Let's have enough faith to remind ourselves that we need him every single day. That's great. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the instruction that he gives us. And I pray tonight that we will take the truths that are coming to us and we try to deepen our hearts and our minds. And that we call our faith to you. Father, I pray for somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ as the Savior. You've given them our faith to see that they're a sinner. You've given them our faith to understand that they're a sinner. Thank you.